Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, how wonderful again it is to gather to hear your word. May the Holy Spirit use this word to produce faith in our hearts and love in our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Shepherd. Amen. So we are beginning this series called Outrageous, and this is all about the things that Jesus says that have everyone saying, that's outrageous, how can that possibly be? So what's outrageous here in this text from Matthew 18? Well, it's this. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Outrageous. Really? Really, Pastor? Is that outrageous? Yeah, it is, on a whole bunch of levels. So let's consider one level. How many sheep are there here? Okay, simple math, 99 plus 1 equals 100 sheep, okay? Back in that day, that was a substantial number of sheep to have. This meant that this shepherd had wealth. This meant that he probably had this really awesome operation with lots of hired hands, probably a bunch of sheep pens. And so when he leaves the 99, they're safe. But at the same time, so what? So what? If he loses one sheep that goes astray, it is not really going to put a dent in his bottom line there. So it's outrageous that he would leave. But look at it again. It says that he leaves them on the mountains. Okay, let's go the opposite direction. What if these 99 are out there on the mountain, or as Luke puts it, in the wilderness, and he takes off and goes after this one sheep? What's going to happen to the 99? Thieves who are probably watching this could come in and just simply steal. There's no one there to protect them. Or even worse, wolves will come in and completely ravage the flock. So he didn't just lose one sheep here. It's in danger of losing all of the sheep. Outrageous. But there's also one more thing. It says that when he finds this lost sheep, he rejoices. The shepherd's not like, oh, whew, I found it. Oh, and then probably gets a little angry that this thing has caused so much trouble, gets a staff, whack, 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 let's go back to the fold. No, he's overjoyed. And he's overjoyed more so than the ones that stayed put. Outrageous. And so in the end, it seems like that it just blows our mind that this shepherd will go after one that does not seem worth going after. But there's more going on in this text here. In fact, this short little story that Jesus tells is bracketed by a bunch of other things that are going on. In fact, it begins with the disciples coming up to Jesus and saying, who's the greatest? Who is the greatest in your kingdom? And he takes a child. He doesn't tell him about a king or about some ruler. He takes a child, a lowly child, puts him in their midst, and he says, see this child? This is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say that if you welcome one of these children in my name, you welcome me. But then he goes on to say, but if anyone causes one of these little ones to sin, it's better put this heavy, huge grindstone around their neck and chuck them into the sea and drown. That's how bad
sin is. And then, right around this short story, he talks about how don't despise these little ones because they are valuable to your Father in heaven. So valuable that he does not wish even one of them to perish eternally. So in summary, Jesus is saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? A child. And a child equals a little one equals a sheep. And they all have one unifying characteristic to them. They are weak. They are needy. They are helpless. They are dependent. And so if one strays into sin, they can become lost unless someone searches for them. So there's more going on here than just talking about children and sheep and little ones. Jesus is talking about disciples. He's talking about those who are weak in faith, those who have strayed into sin, and they are going away from the flock and lost. Now, of course, what Jesus is saying is that it's bad if you cause one of these disciples to sin. It's better to go take a jump in the lake there. But he's saying it is equally bad to despise these disciples, to think little of them, to think that they are not worth going after. So think about it. Have you been hurt by someone? And I'm not just talking about, you know, maybe a minor bump in. I'm talking about someone has really hurt you deep inside. Because it's still lingering in your memory. It's still lingering in your life. And this person is strayed from the path of God. What is your reaction? Go ahead. Go wander out in the sin. Go wander out in the wilderness. Serves you right. I mean, what were you thinking doing that? Please. And it may even get to the point where you're like, let him go. It's not my problem. I've got tons of other things on my plate right now. It's not my problem to go out and find them and search for them. Let them go. You know what Jesus says to that? Outrageous. Because in the end, Jesus is saying that it is outrageous to just let this child, this little one, this sheep, wander away into sin, wander into the wilderness, because if they do, they could remain in that sin. They could lose their faith in Jesus that this might not even be forgiven. And thus they may perish. Because they're weak, because they're needy and helpless, because they can't find their own way back to the fold. Someone needs to go after them. Someone needs to find them, and someone needs to bring them back. I was lost once. I remember it still clearly, even though I was a little child. This happened back in Denver when my family went to a restaurant called Casa Bonita. If you've ever been to Denver, or if you're ever going to Denver, put it down on your itinerary. This is it's a hilarious restaurant. It's got great food, but it's like an indoor amusement park. I mean, it's got mazes to go through. It's got a store with like toys and games and stuff. It even has cliff divers. I'm not kidding. Cliff divers that, you know, dive into a pool. It was so awesome. I was having so much fun. And I was going with my family to the buffet line. I was just taking in all the sights. The next thing you know, I'm like, whoa, where are they? I remember I was about, say, 4 years old. I was terrified. I started crying. I didn't know where they were. I was looking around. I'm lost. Where is everyone? Finally, a concerned waitress came up to me and said, "Are you lost?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "All right, we'll go find them." But didn't have to, because as soon as we were about to go and try and find my parents, I heard my name, Ben! It was my mom. Boy, did I run fast into her arms. Wow, what joy. Now, why do I tell this story? Because I'm sure you have your own story of being lost, you know, somewhere, and someone searching for you. I tell it because I was the one that was lost. And someone was searching for me. Because there is more going on here when Jesus talks about this shepherd leaving the 99. That lost sheep strayed into sin. That was you. That was you. Straying into sin, weak, helpless, dependent, needy. You could not find your way back to God, and you were destined to perish. And the Lord, our shepherd, he could have left us out there. He could have said, "Serves you right. What were you thinking? Not my problem." But he did the outrageous. He sought you out. He left heaven itself and came down into this sinful wilderness, and he diligently, earnestly looked for you. And his search took him all the way to the cross, where he died for you, he bled for you, he breathed his last for you. But he was overjoyed because there at the cross, he found you. He found you. He saved you. He took you up in his arms and wrapped you up in his grace and his love, his mercy and his forgiveness. I know, no matter how outrageous it seems, what joy we have. Knowing that someone was seeking you and me out in our sin. A shepherd that cares for you. A shepherd that thought you were so valuable that he laid down his life for you. And the shepherd now seeks out those who are straying into sin. Through you and me. You see, after he tells this short story, he gets practical. He says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." Now, going to someone who has sinned against you, really hurt you, this is not time for revenge. This is not time to harp upon their sin. This is not time to let them know just how bad they are. You do let them know this, but you want to gain them back. You want to find them. You want to bring them back into the fold of God. And you will go to outrageous lengths to get them back. You will go again and again and again. And if that doesn't work, then you will take two or three others with you to try and gain them back. And if that doesn't work, you will get the entire church involved in trying to get them back. And if they listen to you, you have gained them back. Listened. Listen to the good news of a shepherd that seeks them out, that cares for them, that considers them so valuable that he lays down his life for them. So, does it now seem outrageous that the shepherd left the 99? Maybe. But equally outrageous is the love that God has for sinners. And yet equally wonderful. And I pray, brothers and sisters in Christ, that it's the outrageous love of God that drives you to search for the one. Amen.